Our text for this morning is found in Luke chapter 2 and the verse 44. Luke chapter 2 and the verse 44. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, We'll seek the Lord's face together, please, in prayer. We need the Lord's help as we come around his word. Let us seek the Lord's face in prayer, please. Our gracious Father, we thank thee for thy word that is before us. And Lord, we pray that today great help will be granted to us as we meditate over this portion. And Lord, we pray that it will not just be a study of something that happened in history. We pray, Lord, that there might be here a message from thyself for every heart in this building. Oh, Lord, grant that help of the Holy Spirit of God. Take thine own infallible word, we pray, and write it upon every heart. We pray in Christ's great name. Amen. Amen. In Exodus chapter 17, the children of Israel murmured against the Lord. It was on that occasion that the Lord brought forth water from the smitten rock. And in that passage, we read of how that particular place was called Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not? Is the Lord among us or not?" Now, in that particular context, that question, "Is the Lord among us or not?" was used in tempting the Lord. It was used to cast doubt upon the Lord. And yet that question, "Is the Lord among us or not?" is one that surely the believer ought to be continually asking. Am I enjoying the Lord's presence in my life? It is certainly a question that Joseph and Mary ought to have asked as they set off from Jerusalem. Is the Lord among us or not? For a whole day they traveled in the direction of Nazareth without him. In verse 46 we read mention of 3 days. It came to pass that after 3 days they found him. And some suggest that the first day is the day referred to their journey toward Nazareth, the second day back to Jerusalem, and then the third day, the day that they searched for him in Jerusalem. And certainly they did travel without him for a day. And what sad words these are in verse 44. "But they, supposing him to have been in the company." They supposing him to have been in the company. And as God's people, we can make that very same mistake. We can suppose that the Lord is with us. Now it is true that the Lord never abandons his people. In that sense, the Lord is always with us. That promise holds true, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." It is also true that the Lord is omniscient. He is everywhere, and therefore we cannot escape from him. In that sense also, the Lord is always with us. Yet the child of God can get away from the conscious presence of the Lord, that awareness of the Lord's blessing and the Lord's leading in our lives. It's not that the Lord has removed himself from us, but rather, we have wandered from him. I encourage you to ask yourself the question today, in this year that is almost over, how often has it been the case that you have supposed that the Lord was in your company, when all the time you had left him behind, supposing him to be in the company? Perhaps at times you have been awakened like Samson. Remember how it says of him in Judges 16:20, "He wist not, he knew not, that the Lord was departed from him. And as he awoke from his stupor that day, he lacked the awareness that the power of God was gone from him. That as in times past when the Spirit of God had come upon him and he did mighty things in the Lord's name, that was nigh past. He supposed the Lord was in his company, but it was not so. I trust today the Lord will take this text in verse 44 and impress upon our hearts afresh our great need to have the Lord with us. And the hymn writer said, "I must have the Savior with me, for I dare not walk alone. I must feel his presence near me and his arm around me thrown every day. We need the Lord with us." Another hymn writer expressed that, "I need thee every hour." And of course, it's not suggesting that we just need the Lord on the hour, but we need him every moment in the hour. "I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee." And today I want to ask the question then, is the Lord among us or not? Is the Lord among us or not? As we think of this particular portion, I want to see, first of all, that there was an unintended departure. There was an unintended departure. That is, Mary and Joseph, as they departed from the presence of the Lord, that was not their intention. Their departure from Christ was something that they had not intended. How did they journey for a whole day without knowing that this 12-year-old boy was not with them? Some suggest that the practice would have been that the men walked with the men, the ladies walked with the ladies, and so Joseph may have presumed that the Lord was with Mary. Mary may have presumed that the Lord was with Joseph. Or perhaps the young men would have walked together, and they both presumed that the Lord was walking in that company. However it happened, their departure from Christ was certainly not intentional. And I want to draw some parallels from this particular passage to our own proneness to wander and leave the God we love. And as Mary and Joseph unintendedly left the Lord behind, there are parallels in this scene to our own experience. We may journey without the Lord after times of spiritual blessing. We may journey without the Lord, depart from the Lord after times of spiritual blessing. For there is much in this scene that we ought to admire Mary and Joseph for, especially the fact that they had brought their family to Jerusalem for this feast. And we read that this was their continual habit in verse 41. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast, and when they had fulfilled the days. And so, not only did they make this their yearly practice to go to Jerusalem for the Passover, but they stayed for the entire period of the Passover feast. They didn't just remain for the beginning and return home, but they fulfilled the days. And surely it's also significant that both of these parents went together. Now, in the Old Testament law, the law said in Exodus 34, verse 23, "Thrice in the year, three times in the year, shall all your men children appear before the Lord God." And so the great duty of this lay upon the men, and the young men were to be there for those feasts. But as Mary considered that particular command, she saw her responsibility in that to ensure that the Lord and the Lord Jesus would be there and her other male children. And so Mary and Joseph together had that commitment to see that their home was ordered according to the things of the Lord Joseph didn't stay behind at home, leaving it up to the wife to see that their children were instructed spiritually in the things of God. Nor did Mary remain at home. They both worked on this together. They saw their duty together. And we ought to emulate that example in our families. The duty of family religion does lie with the father. The father has a duty to instruct the children, but the wife is not to be lax concerning her role in that. And the husband is not to delegate that task to his wife. They are to labor in this together. And so here Mary and Joseph, they had gone to Jerusalem. They had had this time of worship. Presumably it was a time when they had known the Lord's rich blessing as they had met with many of the Lord's people from throughout Israel. And as you think about how they enjoyed that time of blessing, after the time of blessing, they went away without Christ. They left the Lord behind. Now, isn't there a parallel there? So often, we can know the blessing of God in God's house. So often we can know the blessing of God in our own personal devotion times, and yet we get up from that and we leave, as it were, the Lord behind. And we can experience times of great spiritual renewal, personal revival, and yet go out and be injured by our great enemy. And we can go from a place of blessing and we're not on our guard as we ought to be. We fail to recognize that the devil is operating in those times of blessing just as he is in times of spiritual coldness. Times of departure can take place after times of blessing. But then I want to notice also that we will journey without the Lord if we move without him. We will journey without the Lord if we move without him. And surely we see that very simplistically set forth in this particular scene. Mary and Joseph left Jerusalem, and they left leaving the Lord there, and therefore they no longer had the physical presence of Christ with them. Now, this happened in a time of peace, in a time when they were not conscious of great danger around them. Now you think of that time when Joseph was warned in the dream to take the child to Egypt. Mary and Joseph would never have, in that particular scene, left Christ behind. It was a time of danger. They were conscious of their need to have the Lord with them. And so in our times, when there is danger, when there is suffering, perhaps at those times we ensure that the Lord is with us. But in times of calm, in times of peace, we can become careless. I wonder if that was true concerning Mary. And was she distracted by conversation with other mothers? And was she taken up with the care of other young children and distracted then concerning her need to have Christ with her? And whatever it was, they left without him for a whole day. They were oblivious to the fact that Christ was left behind. We will journey without the Lord if we move without him. But then also want to say that we can journey without the Lord even when we are taken up with legitimate things. We can journey without the Lord even when we are taken up with legitimate things. For as Mary and Joseph left Nazareth, surely the reason why they were keen to get on that journey and get back to Nazareth was that they had work to do. There was a carpenter's workshop that had to be opened again. And there was daily business that had to be attended to. And so Mary and Joseph, they were not taken up with sinful desires, things sinful in themselves. wasn't an account then of things that were sinful in themselves that took them away from Christ. It was legitimate things that took them away. Legitimate day-to-day activities. And we have to recognize then that it is not only true that great sin causes God's people to be brought into backsliddenness. It is not only a going back into the world that causes the child of God to lose fellowship with Christ, but we can be taken up with legitimate things, with day-to-day activities, with the education of our children, with our work life, with our social life. And all the time, we are missing out with God. And what a tragedy that this couple had legitimate things in mind, but they missed out with God. There are even times that we can be engaged in the Lord's service, or so we think. We are doing something that we believe is a service to the Lord, and yet we have presumed to do it without Him. To go preaching, to go teaching, to go singing or some other labor for the Lord. But all the time we have not checked if the Lord is with us. We have presumed upon His presence. The hymn writer said, "Take time to be holy. The world rushes on." And there must be this taking time then to ensure that our focus is on that which is most important. Yes, it was vital that they would get back to Nazareth, but how much more important that they would have Christ with them. And we will journey without the Lord if we are happy for others to be closer to Christ than ourselves. We will journey without the Lord if we are happy for others to be closer to Christ than ourselves. In verse 44, they supposing Him to have been in the company. It speaks of how they sought Him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And all that day then, they assumed that there were others among their family and friends and neighbors that were enjoying the company of the Lord. And Mary and Joseph were happy that others would know the presence of Christ with them, while they did not know it personally themselves. And you think what blessing Mary and Joseph could have enjoyed that day if they had had Christ with them. For at the time as they walked away without the Lord, what was taking place? If you look in verse 46, it came to pass that after 3 days they found Him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard Him were astonished at His understanding and answers. And what a blessed thing it would have been for Mary and Joseph to enjoy that on the journey, to have heard the questions, to have heard the answers. What a blessed thing it would have been if it could have been said of them that day that they were amazed at the wonderful things that He was saying. But you see, they were happy that others would know the blessing of Christ with them, while they did not enjoy that themselves. And isn't there again a parallel in that to the Lord's people today? Perhaps there have been times and you've been happy for other people to know God's blessing, but you have not sought it yourself. You're happy that others have been in God's house under the Word and have been blessed by the ministry. You've been happy that others have been blessed in the public place of prayer, but you have been happy to leave it for them to have that enjoyment. You're like Mary and Joseph, journeying without the Lord. You're happy that others know that close walk with the Lord in the secret place, but you have abandoned it. Here there was an unintended departure. But I want to see, secondly, there was then an alarming
discovery.
For what an awful thing it was that as they sought the Lord, that they found him not. Verse 45. And they thought he was in their company, but when they went to find him, he was not there. And surely that is like the Christian. And the Christian can think that the Lord is with him. In some moment when he wants the Lord's help, having been content for a period of time to journey without the Lord, but suddenly in an hour of crisis, he turns to find the Lord. The Lord is not there. As we'll come to see in a moment, the person blames the Lord for him not being there. And we have left the Lord, as it were, in Jerusalem. And we have been content to walk without him, content to presume he is nearby, but we have left him. And perhaps there is someone today and you have been walking without the Lord. And in moments of crisis, you have turned to cry to the Lord for help. And no help has been given. You're angry with the Lord. You're bitter with him. But it's time that you would wake up to this reality, that the problem is because of you. It's time then that, like Mary and Joseph, you would retrace your steps and get back to Jerusalem. But as we think of this alarming discovery, the absence of Christ had brought cost. And it brought cost. Now you think of how this couple, they wanted to move off quickly from Jerusalem. The feast was over. They wanted to get back to Nazareth. And so it was good that they would set out early and have that full day's journey on that first day of their journey back to Nazareth. But what they had thought was going to be time-saving actually ended up costing them time. Now, they did not save time by supposing the Lord was in the company. But having made that supposition, it cost them time. They lost out on at least 3 days. It took them a day to get back to Jerusalem, a day to find the Lord, and then a day to retrace their steps to the place where they had departed from the rest of the company. And does that not make you think of yourself? Have it not been times that you have rushed out in the morning and you've said to yourself, I have no time to seek the Lord's face today. But your economizing hasn't really worked out in your favor. It has cost you time. The time that you saved in skipping seeking the Lord's face is time that has been wasted in constant frustration through the day. Leaving without the Lord, you see, it costs us. The absence of Christ brought cost, and the absence of Christ brought pain. In verse 48, Mary reproved the Lord, and she says at the end of verse 48, Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And the word sorrowing there has the idea of intense pain. We have borne excruciating pain during this time that we have been aware that you have not been with us. And surely we can appreciate something of the pain that there was in her soul as there was that question, where is he? Where can we find him? What has happened to him? I'm sure at the times that they had to stop in their journey because it was night and couldn't search because it was night, they, I'm sure, didn't gain very much sleep. How painful all that must have been. Yet it was all part of God's plan. Was the Lord uncaring? Not at all. This was the Lord's goodness that they would feel this pain, because they were to learn how vital it was to know the Lord's presence with them, and how much we need to learn we need the Lord. The cost and pain they suffered, it was at first concealed. So for that first day, they weren't aware that they were costing themselves time. They weren't aware that soon they would be launched into great anguish and despair. At times we can wander along and not be aware of the consequences we are bringing upon ourselves. But all the time there's this cost in departing from the Lord. Now in this message I've been addressing especially the Christian. But what an awful thing it is as we think of the unconverted. How many among the unconverted are described in verse 44? They supposing him to have been in the company. How many there are today, and they suppose that because of their religious background, that because of their religious parentage, that because of some profession they made in their childhood, they presume the Lord is with them. They presume all is well with their soul. They may live every day for the devil, but they presume the Lord is with them. They are like those five foolish virgins. They have not the oil. That is, they do not have the Holy Spirit. They are not indwelt. They are not sealed by the Holy Spirit. They presume that all is well, even though they have not the Lord. And if there's one in the meeting today and you're unconverted, oh, that these words would stir your soul. You have supposed Christ to be in your company. How awful to live without him. How awful to perish forever without him. There was here an unintended departure, an alarming discovery. And I want to see then, finally, there was a humbling discussion. And for Mary and Joseph rightly made their way back to Jerusalem. They went back to where it had all gone wrong. They had left the Lord in Jerusalem. And so back to Jerusalem they must go. They must retrace their steps. And surely that is what the child of God ought to do. We are to examine where has it gone wrong. We are to confess our sin. Confess our departure and get back to the place where we abandoned the Lord, as it were. And as they sought the Lord, they searched him for him earnestly. Verse 44 speaks of how they sought him among their kinsfolk. And when they found him not, in verse 45, they went to Jerusalem seeking him. In verse 48, Mary says, I have sought thee sorrowing. And so there was this earnest search. And how wise they were to go to the temple, to the house of the Lord, to find him. And when they found the Lord, in verse 49, Mary rebukes the Lord. Now, verse 48, and behold, thy father and thy mother have sought thee sorrowing. And Mary was blaming the Lord for her own failure. Who was responsible for setting out on that journey and leaving the Lord behind? And Mary and Joseph were responsible. But to cast all of the blame for this upon the Lord himself, the Lord responded firmly and yet most graciously. In verse 49, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not, did ye not know that I must be about my Father's business? Now, these are the first recorded words of our Lord Jesus Christ in his incarnation. The first words that we read of Christ, the first words that we read of him spoken on earth in his incarnation, he said, I must be about my Father's business. This was his great priority, to be in the work of God. And Mary and Joseph, they were dull of heart. They could not understand, verse 50. They understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And despite their faults, it was not entirely clear to them what had gone wrong. And surely there are times when we must feel like that. And we know that, or we're brought to say that we are guilty from departing from the Lord. But we cannot fully understand it all. And yet how tender the Lord is. And the words of verse 51 are words that really amaze me. He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And you think of here of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of all glory, the one who was consumed with the things of the Father. And yet, while as he spoke, Mary and Joseph could not understand the depths of what he was saying, yet he went down with them. There was that humbling of heart. He was subject to them. What condescension. And surely it all reminds us the Lord does not cast us off because of our weakness. And the Lord did not say to Mary and Joseph that day, there's no point in me coming back with you. You're so inferior. But the Lord was glad to go and to dwell with them. And praise God today, the failure that there is so often in the life of the Christian, it is not to be final. Our failure is not to cripple us. Remember that great promise in the book of Joel, I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, and perhaps much of this year that is almost over has been lived in failure in your case. But God promises, I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, and those times that have been spent having been crippled spiritually. The Lord says, I will restore it. We ought to cry out with David then today, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Get me back to that place of sweet communion. And may I know in this new year that close walk with thyself. And surely, as Christ went back and he dwelt with Mary and Joseph in Nazareth, the great focus ought to have been upon the cross. For it says that Christ said, did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? He went home to obey the law of God as he had been doing. And he went back with them to Nazareth, that ultimately he would be brought to the cross to finish the Father's business. To be that bleeding substitute. And today then, as we have departed from the Lord, if we are to get back to that place of close fellowship with the Lord and to retain that close fellowship with the Lord, our minds are to be consumed with these great subjects. The life and death of Jesus Christ. We venture our all upon it. Praise God for all that Christ means to us. And may in this new year we maybe not be those that suppose the Lord to be in our company. But may we individually, may we collectively as a congregation, continually know the Lord's presence and blessing with us. We trust the Lord will take his word and bless it to all of our hearts. Amen.